Well, that was interesting. The Make It Happen Mets. The Mets win. 9-7. Should have been 9-3. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 2 hours to go. That got a little bit crazy at the end. Reed Garrett, who has pitched 3 times in 4 days, comes in to get the last out after Tyler J comes in and gives the game away, or at least he tried to. The tying run comes to the plate, and it's like, oh, no. No way. Man, this Mets bullpen is being absolutely exposed. You know, you lose Diaz to the suspension, Drew Smith to injury, Sean Reed Foley, Jorge Lopez gets DFA'd. It's like, you're down to not having any guys, not many guys you can trust. Reed Garrett has been absolutely used up this year, but the Mets survive. I mean, you score 9 runs, you should win. They needed all of those runs and extra innings, but that's a much needed win just to keep the, what was Tommy calling it, the no fun police at bay? You know, because people want to rain on the Mets grimace parade. People want to rain on the OMG parade. Well, winning cures all. You find a way to win, and you continue feeling good about the team and about what they're doing, and then you go out tomorrow and try and take the series. All right, don't call because I have a guest coming up. Let's see if I can get a couple calls in right now. Ben is in Connecticut. Ben, you're on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith? Big Yankee fan, but I got to say, man, LGYM. Let's go Yankee Mets here.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. Like, they're entertaining, whether it's, you know, them scoring a lot and just pummeling the Yankees, or even, you know, the roller coaster that we went on tonight watching this bullpen and, you know, them hit a couple home runs in the 10th inning. They give you a game that you can't turn off every night.
It's like after, you know, a decade of kind of down years for New York sports, I'm just happy to finally watch competitive teams in all leagues, it feels like, right?
Yeah, competing's not good enough. We got to get a chip. We got to get a champion soon.
So that's what I'm calling about. You know, I'm almost, first of all, I don't think it's the worst thing the Yankees are going through this little streak right here because, you know, listen, if this team isn't, you know, made ready right now to win a championship, it's better we see that and let Cashman see it so that he can kind of evaluate what we need. My question to you is, at the position of catcher, specifically, I guess, catcher and second base, do you think we actually need to upgrade at one of those two positions, or do you think we're going through just sort of like a weird midseason funk there?
It depends on what's available to us. I'd like to see an upgrade, but I don't think they're going to upgrade. I think they love Gleyber Torres. I think they look at Gleyber Torres as one of the better second basemen in the league. I heard Cashman say as much at the GM meetings that Gleyber Torres is one of the best second basemen in the American League. You got Jose Trevino, who was a platinum glove catcher and an all-star just 2 seasons ago. And young Austin Wells, yep, he's coming along hitting and really working with the pitchers too. If they don't have somebody mm-hmm. out there at catcher or second base that they feel like is a definite improvement, they're just going to work with these guys, coach them up, have them prepared, and roll forward yep. with them.
I don't know if you remember it. I mean, I'm sure you do, but like to refresh you, in I think 2018 – when we lost to the Red Sox in the postseason, like, they were running wild on us, you know, and we've had defensive problems as well in the field, obviously, like, you know, in the Astros series when we couldn't even play IKF at shortstop and, like, with Gleyber at shortstop. I just feel like these are two things that have already hurt us and cost us playoffs, and, like, we're seeing them creep up again, and it makes me nervous. You see what I'm saying?
So you would hope that Brian Cashman in the front office learned from that. You would hope that they're aware of that. You would hope that they don't get burned by the same mistake twice. I don't know, man. I hope yep. not too. I'm afraid like you are. I am deathly afraid of Gleyber Torres making an error that costs us a run or dropping a ball or not knowing how many outs there are in the base paths and getting us out of an inning that way. I'm deathly afraid of being in a postseason game where Jose Trevino is paired up with whoever it might be and they just start blitzing on the base paths and we can't throw them out. I'm also deathly afraid of guys striking out and not putting bat to ball and not having enough hitters in yep. the bottom of that order where they can walk Aaron Judge. And if Judge isn't himself in the postseason, and you know, they're cooked. Like, I think you need reinforcements for sure.
Totally, man. Well, listen, I hope to see you out in 203. I've been trying to get out there as much as I can with the creatures, so maybe I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Ben. I'm out there tomorrow. I'm not going to be out there this weekend. Unfortunately, my grandfather passed a couple weeks back, and I have to spend my 4th of July weekend in Jacksonville, Florida, where if you listen to me and I tell you stories about my life growing up, I used to spend summers in Jacksonville, Florida with my grandmother and my grandfather, and my grandfather passed a couple weeks ago, so we're, you know, doing a celebration of life for him. And I will be going down to pay my respects and stand next to my grandmother and give her strength and hold her up and thank her for her influence on my life, as well as Pop-Pop Rowland. Rest in peace to my Pop-Pop. Yeah, I won't be at Yankee Stadium after tomorrow, and I won't be on the fan after tomorrow. You know, it's not great, and it's not something I really want to talk about on air, but it's life. We knew he was going for a little while, and we knew it would be around this time this summer. So, yeah, unfortunate that my, you know, 4th of July vacation will involve that. But, yeah, go to the stadium. Enjoy it. Fireworks night. George Costanza bobblehead. There's some other giveaways. And, you know, it's the middle of the summer. Try and have a good time and get it in. The Yankees will get right. And I think coming home to some home cooking here against the Reds and the Red Sox is a great opportunity. Ari is in Lakewood before we go to my next guest. Ari, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, excuse me. As always, taking my call. I want to ask about the Yankees' schedule. Do you think they're improving since they started this from losing 13 out of losing 10 out of 13, or you think they're just still
the Blue Jays aren't good. The Blue Jays bullpen is trash. The Blue Jays have some hitters. So, like, I can't be too excited about a split, but I prefer that than a loss. And they did show us some things in these four games that make you believe that, hey, they're coming out of it. But I won't know. Baseball is different, man. Let's see how they play in Yankee Stadium, how they respond to the Reds. I was happy that they stopped the bleeding of losing every series. They almost lost their fifth series in a row. So I don't know. I think, you know, obviously Judge is all world, all universe. He's a freak. I don't know. I don't know why they pitched him, and I don't know what. I think he's got to be a cyborg or some type of mutant. Ben Rice has been a good little hitter for the Yankees. He's due for his first homer here in this home stretch coming up. Volpe has struggled a bit, but it is what it is. It's good to see DJ LeMahieu get a couple extra base hits for the first time this season. Hopefully they can get that out of him. Gleyber Torres being benched and having Marcus Stroman wrongfully call him out and, you know, ask him to pick it up. And, you know, that woke him up and woke the team up. And, yeah, guys just got to continue to fight and have some intensity. Alex Verdugo has been in a bad one. Alex Verdugo good lately at the plate. He's got to shake out of it. But, you know, baseball will humble you, and adversity is needed. It has tested this team. They folded in the month of June, but guess what? It's July now. It's a new month, and there's a new series starting tomorrow.
Yeah, Keith. I went to my first Mets game yesterday.
Congrats. How'd you like it over there?
It was good until it rained. The caller called up earlier about these Mets traditions and the versus the Yankees, non excitement and like for like young fans. I mean, the Yankees are not for traditions. They're not looking to get young fans like into
the tradition
games.
Is so, winning. Tradition is being a good team.
And they're being serious, and they're a serious team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how serious you can be. Getting smoked by the Mets in their ballpark. But no, I understand what you're trying to say. Like, you know, the Mets having a meet the Mets and having two mascots of Mr. and Mrs. Met and now a Grimace and now an OMG song. Like, it might seem gimmicky, but for kids, it's cool. They just showed a kid in Washington, D.C. this whole game in a Grimace outfit. All right, thanks for the call. I got to get to my guest and respect his time. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA now, as earlier we talked NHL free agency. Joining me is Mike Vorkunov from The Athletic as well. He's a national NBA reporter. I've had him on before. And I know we haven't really talked anything outside of Isaiah Hartenstein, but there's plenty that has gone on in these last couple of days. Let's welcome in Mike. What's up, Mike? How are you?
How's it going?
Good, good, good. Obviously, here in New York, we're in the middle of baseball season. The Mets just won a crazy game in extra innings, and the Yankees are off. So, you know, we're doing that talk, but can't ignore the NBA free agency. The talk of the town is Isaiah Hartenstein. Some Knicks fans are mad. They feel like, you know, he's a piece to the championship. They were supposed to run it back. They're like, how could he take more money to go play for OKC? And what I've been on the record saying is it's a lot more money in less time, and OKC is a number one seed in the West. It's not like he's going to some bums, and you could only offer him so much. He made the right decision, and the writing was on the wall. What do you think about Isaiah Hartenstein getting his big payday and joining the Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, I get why Knicks fans would be angry about him leaving or sad about him leaving, but I don't think you can hate on him taking the contract that he did. He's getting $60 million over the first 2 years of that deal. The most Knicks could offer him was $72.5 million over 4 years. You know, even if everything goes bad, he gets $60 million over the first 2 years, and then he gets to hit free agency again.
Yep.
I think it's an easy one, and not to mention the taxes in Oklahoma probably a lot cheaper or a lot lighter than it is in New York.
For sure. For sure. Well, moving on from him, right, I think a lot of Knicks fans saw the Mikal Bridges trade about a week ago, and the OG Anunoby deal a couple days ago, and they were already saying, all right, that's it. This is a championship team. We're right there with the Celtics. We're going to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals. I was on Saturday, and I was like, you guys got to pump your brakes a little bit. Like, it was a cool story and a great run, and the Villanova Knicks getting their final Infinity Stone, collecting all seven Dragon Balls, whatever, that's cool. But, like, other teams are good too. Like, the Celtics are ridiculous. They just short up their guys, and I don't expect them to compete, or I don't expect them to repeat, but I expect them to compete, and they're the champs until they get knocked off. And then when you look at the Sixers adding Paul George and then reeing up some of their guys, bringing back, obviously, Maxey with $200 million, I think 4-year max contract, and then Kelly Oubre and adding Andre Drummond back to the fold, like, they're trying to be right there with the Celtics if Embiid is healthy. So, what do you think about the Paul George move? I know he's 34, but I think, I mean, he's definitely an upgrade over Tobias Harris and Nick Batum and the guys they've had.
I mean, he's the best teammate that Joel Embiid has ever had.
Over Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
over
if you
Ben
look
Simmons?
At it. The...
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, Jimmy Butler, he had him for half a year. He was really good, obviously, but I mean, if you look at it by advanced metrics, by conventional numbers, like, Paul George has had, I think he's been better over the course of his career, and now he gets him at a time when he has Tyrese Maxey too, and yeah, that's a really big, you know, trio to build around, and we'll see if Philly can get more players around there. Re-signing Kelly Oubre, obviously a very good start. I thought he was pretty good in the playoffs against the Knicks, and you know, it's going to be a loaded Eastern Conference with Boston, with the Knicks. Who knows what Milwaukee does if they can kind of figure things out with Lillard and Giannis, but it's going to be a whole lot tougher than it was this past year.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I mean, I hear people talking about, oh, the Knicks are a top three team. Oh, wait, no, the Knicks are a top five team in the NBA. I'm like, okay, maybe. But the West, I look at the West this year. Obviously, you have Alex Caruso going to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and now they get Iheart. They were already the number one seed. I think they can run it back and have the best record in the West again, and now with the playoff experience they had, you know, take a step forward. Obviously, Caruso is a champion, and Iheart just, you know, made it to the second round. But when I look at the West and the moves that have been made in the West, right, everybody's talking about Klay Thompson joining the Mavs, who obviously got to the finals, and they didn't have enough. Klay is cooked. What do you think about Klay getting this money? And there's so much talk about, oh, the Warriors disrespected him. And then I'm glad so many people countered to say the Warriors can't disrespect Klay Thompson. They paid him while he was hurt. He had an Achilles injury and then followed that up with an ACL injury. Like, there's no disrespect there. It was time to move on.
I mean, I don't think, you know, it's like the disrespecting is hard to figure out just because it's hard anytime that there's an aging star, right? Like, I feel like that very rarely ends well for the star, for the team. There's always some kind of acrimonious breakup because, you know, they expect to be treated in a different way, in a way closer to what they have been that whole career. But I don't think he's cooked, though. I mean, he still shot 39% on 9 threes a game last year. I think he can still score. He's still got so much gravity to him that he just, you can't leave him open, which creates seams in the other parts of the offense. I think he's going to be an interesting fit in Dallas with Luka and Kyrie being able to create so much that he's either going to, you know, get a lot of good looks himself or open up kind of pathways through defense for everybody else.
Yeah, we're on the phone with Mike Vorkunov. We're talking NBA as NBA free agency. Another NBA summer is upon us. You know, LeBron, they said LeBron, the first person he called was Klay. So what do you think about Klay choosing Kyrie over LeBron?
You know, it's, hey, which team's better? I'd say Dallas is probably likely to be better next year, right? Not to mention, I think Dallas could offer him more money than LA could. So it kind of makes sense. Why go to the worst team for less money?
Here's another thing I had in my notes, because I saw a lot of Knicks fans once Isaiah Hartenstein departed earlier today. They're like, they got to get Goga. They got to get Goga. They got to get Goga. And free agent center Goga Bidadze, I can't pronounce his last name, Bidadze, is returning to the Orlando Magic on a 3-year deal. And then also, when we look at these centers, I mentioned Drummond to the Sixers, Plumlee to the Suns, Valanciunas to the Wizards, Nick Claxton staying with the Nets. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody else in this free agent center class. The big men are important, but I feel like they are not primary as far as winning a championship. I feel like the Knicks can continue on and they can either find a replacement or develop somebody else, but I think the big names are off the board.
I feel like the Knicks rely on big more than a lot of teams just because Tom Thibodeau values 48 minutes of rim protection so much. That's why the Hartenstein-Mitchell Robinson combination was so important for them, right? They could throw out two huge seven-footers who protect the rim, who can rebound really well so they can hit the offensive glass, and that was such a big part of their identity. But, yeah, I mean, you see it around the league now. The best teams have bigs who can switch out, who can protect the rim and switch out onto the perimeter. And if you're not one of those guys, you're not going to get paid a lot of money, right? Like, that's why Jonas Valanciunas only got $10 million a year this week in free agency. And whereas someone like Isaiah Hartenstein, who's shown that he can be multidimensional, gets a lot more. So I think the Knicks still need a center. I think they still need a backup big man behind Mitchell Robinson just because of, one, the strategy of how they use big, and two, because Robinson's just not reliable. And so I'm kind of curious where they go because, there's not a lot of depth to the center market.
Yeah, Drew Eubanks to the Utah Jazz. Also saw Jalen Smith took a contract with the Chicago Bulls. Speaking of the Chicago Bulls, obviously they are changing things now. Rumors that they want to trade Lonzo Ball. They want to trade LaVine. But also there were some rumors that DeMar DeRozan was upset about the Caruso trade, and he wants out. And him being an L.A. guy, I just saw him at the Kendrick Lamar show. What do you think about him going to be a Laker now next? I think that's where everybody's pointing to.
I think he was talking about how he almost went there the last time he was a free agent, too. And obviously, he's from L.A., so he's got that clutch. I think he's talked openly about how he wants to play for the Lakers, too. It's all about making the money work, right? Like, I think he's making about $27 million on his last contract, $29 million on his last contract with the Bulls. I don't know if he'll be able to get that much again this time around. But if he feels like he's comfortable with what the money is, I think he'd be a great fit in L.A., with whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers definitely aren't going to match the Boston Celtics with the most championships in NBA history this year, drafting Bronny James. And I just had to slip that in there. All right, last question for you. Jason Tatum from the Celtics, a record-breaking deal, $314 million. Oh, my glob, that's so much money. Derek White, a 4-year, $126 million contract. They are running it back. But you know who's not running it back? The Celtics ownership group. They said, oh, this is too much money. We're paying these basketball players. We want our chip. We're out of here. Team's up for sale.
I mean, they bought the team for $360 million 22 years ago. That's a pretty good return if they want to cash out.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, they might get over $5 billion for that team.
And yeah, of course they will. LeBron might be in on it. Isn't LeBron a part of the ownership group for the Fenway Sports Group? I think LeBron is.
Yeah, he's like a limited partner in Fenway Sports Group. But I think he's far enough removed where even if they bought the Celtics, he wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he can't, by the NBA rules, you know, players, while they're still playing, can't be a part of the ownership group.
Yeah, well, I wish them no luck, but we'll see what they end up doing. What do you think, last but not least, about the Brooklyn Nets and this Mikal Bridges trade? Now, I'll let you know, I am a miserable New Jersey Nets fan. I've had so many issues with them from childhood to being an adult, from them leaving my home state to them trying to rebrand and forget about my home state to trying to take a shortcut and jump the line and, you know, watching the Celtics win. They had played a hand in that, or, you know, they played a part in that. They had a hand in that. To now, not thinking they would ever trade Mikal Bridges with the New York Knicks, because it had been since 1983 since those two teams had done a deal, and there's so much pride involved, the crosstown rivalry. But, man, when I was in here and I saw that they got Mikal Bridges and what they got for him in a return, like, you saw what they got for DeJounte Murray, what the deal for DeJounte Murray was compared to Mikal Bridges. What are your thoughts? I think the Nets won, and I'm so happy as a fan. I don't care if they tank and they're trying to get Cooper Flagg. I don't care if they lose 100 games next year. They're not even going to play 100. But if they lose 100, I won't lose any sleep. I think it was one of the best moves Sean Marks has ever made, getting that return for Mikal Bridges. And I'll say this before I let you go, because these Knicks fans got it confused. Us Nets fans, at first, the first half of the season that he played, we were like, yeah, great. KD replacement, an Iron Man. He's going to play every night. Watching him in this past year, I think every Nets fan was over it. He was not who we thought he was. And once they passed the trade deadline and they passed on what the Rockets wanted to give up for him, we were all like, yo, what are we doing? And so to see the return that they were able to get from the Knicks, I think Sean Marks cooked, because there's no way that a guy that's never been an all-star, that's a third option in our eyes, what we saw out of him, maybe he was just that disinterested. Maybe he just wanted to go to Chipotle. Maybe he just wanted to be with his Villanova buddies that bad that he couldn't ball out and help the team. Most Nets fans are ecstatic over the trade of Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks.
I mean, they should be. The return that they got is, it's a lot. I mean, it's probably the most ever for non-All-Star, right?
And it's not done yet. And they're still got to add and change some things. Yep, go on.
And I mean, they got all that. They also use that as a way to get their own picks back, which means they can tank, right? Which means they can be bad and actually benefit from it.
Yes.
And I think the situation is probably that Mikal Bridges was never going to be as good for the Nets as he would be on a good team, right? Like, just because of his skill set, what he does well, what he doesn't do well, like, he's not going to be the top offensive option on a really good team. Whereas if he goes to the Knicks, he can just fit in so seamlessly. But it's still a lot for the Knicks to give up, and it doesn't mean it's all going to go well. And now they've lost that bank of picks that you could go out there and get a star for. And they're kind of betting on vibes a little bit with all the Villanova guys. It's definitely interesting. It's a big bet that they made, but I think for Brooklyn, it was probably the right move.
Yeah, 100% was. And I know a lot of Knicks fans are trying to say, oh, yeah, you guys thought Mikal Bridges. Like, yeah, we thought in 2023. Like, in 2024, we were done with him. And to get that return, I don't care that it's the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are in win-now mode. The Brooklyn Nets are in we'll see if you win now, but the future belongs to us. Mike, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate you taking the time out. That's all I've got.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime, man.
That's Mike Vorkino from The Athletic, covering the NBA, joining me to talk a little NBA free agency. If there was anything in that conversation that you heard that you want to call up and speak on, do so now at 888-808-1019. You can follow Mike at Mike Vorkunov. That's MikeVorkunov. He's a national reporter, again, for The Athletic, covering the NBA. That's my last guest. Taking your calls for the next 90 minutes. Coming up at 11, my Casamigos big shot of the night. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Hey, yo! Not done yet. This is the time for you to call and get on The Fan. There's no guest, and I'm going to speed through the calls because time burns on me and then the show ends and then I got to go home. And then my last show for the week is tomorrow night after the Yankee game. And then, yeah, I'm off for the holiday. And like I said, you will hear a lot of different voices, a lot of folks filling in. Evan goes from jury duty to vacation. So the afternoon has turned into Morash and Tiki. I was going to get at Morash, but I'll keep it chill. He grinded my gears today where I was about to come in aiming at him. Took a shot at my guy, Bernie Williams. I ain't like that. But that's what Morash does. I've come to accept it. I've come to understand his stick and his lane, and it is what it is. Morash and Loogie are the future of WFAN. The future is now with me. I'm the future that they didn't think about. I'm the future that you didn't see coming. I'm already here. But yeah, they were talking about the Oh My God song. And they were talking about how Iglesias is not really a pop star or something like that. I'm like, no, he is. That's his song. He's got an album. He's charting right now and playing for the Mets right now. And he homered tonight. And then out of nowhere, Bernie Williams catches a stray. And Bernie Williams is somebody who has taken a liking to me. Bernie Williams is somebody who has invited me to his softball game. And at his softball game, I got to see him perform after the game on stage with a full band, a big setup. And I told Bernie to his face, man, I love sports. I love music. I could only dream to be as talented as you are in sports and music. And Sean Morash, I'm not exactly sure what your talents are. But he took a shot at Bernie today to say, like, Bernie shouldn't be performing at all the places that he's performed. I'm like, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. He's not really a good guitar player. Incorrect. Incorrect. So I had to defend Bernie a little bit. Tiki wasn't going to stand up for Bernie Williams. And Bernie Williams is somebody who has called into my show. Bernie Williams is somebody that used to call in to Steve Summers and used to listen to Steve Summers. And then when he got a load of me, he's like, who's this guy? And shout out to Forge, Devils fan and manager of Bernie Williams. Forge reaches out to me, and I come to find Bernie Williams is following me on Instagram. I had no idea. That's why I always tell people, if you're following me and like I know you or I meet you in real life, like make yourself known or, you know, raise your hand. Because like I get a bunch of follows. That's another reason why I'm the future. Who's got all the followers? Who's got the social media presence out of everybody on WFAN? You might not see me on WFAN Twitter, Instagram videos that much because I have to send those in. But my own Instagram and Twitter, pretty decent. Anyway, back to the show. Yeah, I just didn't like that Morash said Bernie Williams. He used Bernie Williams as an example. Stop that, bro. You're supposed to be a Yankee fan representing on the afternoon drive. Where's Big Mac? Ronnie K out in Bayonne. Ronnie, you're on the
phone. Hey, what's up? All right, Keith. How are you today, buddy?
Hanging out, talking the talk, going through all my right. notes, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I want to talk about the Knicks and the, you know, a little bit about the trade. I think I know you're a big Nets fan. The Nets got a haul, but you got to, you know, and Bridges is a good player. He's a very good player, but he fits the system of Thibodeau, man. Look at Josh Hart, DiVincenzo. Like
both sides won. Both sides won the trade as of today. We'll see how it all plays out. Who loses in the
absolutely.
End?
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't win on
today. Well, I'm telling you, yes. Every Nets fan that I see in the arena, every Nets fan that I see on Twitter, I think we're like, even the ones like Evan that are like, I can't believe you did that with the Knicks. Like, there are some Nets fans that just have a complex when it comes to the Knicks fans. But most Nets fans are like, this Brooklyn Bridges thing was never real. Like, he was never going to be that guy for us.
No, but you got to look at the climate at the team he's on, too. I mean, that team was going nowhere.
That's an excuse. Because I look at guys like, yo, if you get the opportunity to be the man on your own squad, be the man, rise above that. And I know he's right. Soft though. He was always a cupcake. He wanted to go join his homies with the Knicks. So now he doesn't have to be the leader. He doesn't have to be the front man. He can fall behind them.
Keith, you're very good at your job, man. But I just think he really would be a good fit for the Knicks.
He is. You guys could use him this year. We should have done the trade at the deadline.
I mean, but, you know, I trust Leon Rose and everything. And, you know, best luck to the Knicks. I mean, I don't hate the Nets. You know, real quick story. You know, my father growing up, his childhood buddy wound up owning a trucking company, and he had season tickets for the Nets at Brendan Byrne Arena.
Yes, sir.
We're talking the 80s here. We're talking the 80s. And he had second row behind the visitor's bench, but we were Knicks fans. And he would give us tickets to go see Patrick Ewing, Bernard King. Like, that was amazing to me. Half the time I turn around, there's Lawrence Taylor sitting right behind me, or Joe Morris, or... Oh, man, it was great. I mean, you couldn't beat it, you know?
Yeah, and they did.
But also...
They had to leave because NBA players didn't want to come play in the swamps of the Meadowlands.
Well, hey, I was a Darryl Dawkins fan. I was a Mike Jaminski fan, Buck Williams fan. Buck Williams became a Knick later on, you know, in his career. But also, what do you think about that, you know, Iglesias little show after the game Friday night?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I think there's so many ball players that want to be rappers, want to be singers. They go to Luke Bryan concerts. They want to get on stage and be country singers. Like, this guy's living the dream. I equated it to Darren Waller. What if Darren Waller actually came back and played for the Giants, and the Giants said, "Hey, Darren, you're the man. We're going to let you perform after Monday Night Football in front of all these fans."
I'm a Giants fan, but I don't think Mara let that happen. But, you know, it's different with baseball. But, you know, I just think it's fun. You know, the and Iglesias even said, he's like, you know, I think it was Steve Gilbs interviewed him. He's like, "Well, what happened if you lost?" He was like, "Oh, no, this would have never happened." It was, you know, it was fireworks night. You know, the fans were already there waiting. So, hey, you got a little show.
They beat the Yankees' ass. And then Thursday they had the foundation event that we all saw the video of them in suits.
Yeah.
So that was a taste of it. It's like, okay, you saw him perform this indoors with the team. Somebody scaled it for Citi Field, and I thought it was well done, well executed. I thought that was a moment in time. I'm glad that they didn't lose three in a row tonight, because everybody would have blamed it on that. Thanks for the call, Ronnie. 888-808-1019. There'll never be peace between the Knicks fans and the Nets fans. We both won. We didn't want him, yo. That's all I'm trying to tell you. We didn't want him. Nets fans are rocking with Cam Thomas. Like, we watched Mikal Bridges smoke layups. We watched Mikal Bridges fold. We watched Mikal Bridges be an quote-unquote Iron Man, and we were rooting for them to give him rest. You feel me? Like, we watched him this year, and we were like, yeah, he could use a game. He could use a game. But when he first got here, of course. So I saw somebody try to do that. Like, So I quote-tweeted the WFAN tweet, and I said, we fleeced them for a reunion. Nets world. That's in my opinion, what happened. We got a huge return from Mikal Bridges so that you guys could reunite college teammates as if this is the NCAA tournament. I'm definitely taking the Knicks in my March Madness bracket next year, but this is not the tournament. The NBA doesn't work like the tournament. You play series. And the way that the Knicks play, your guys play 40 minutes. And by the time you get to the second round, third round, fourth round, guys are missing. You went on this run this year with Isaiah Hartenstein. He's gone. You went on this run this year without Julius Randle. He's back. OG Anunoby always has my neck, my back, my neck, and my back. Something. So, like, just, you know, I'm just trying to tell some people to chill a little bit. You know, it's always an early celebration. And I'm not a Knicks hater, and I'm not jaded by the Knicks fans. Like, I'm not one of those Nets fans that's got this constant thought of, no, the Knicks fans are always bullying us. They're always saying we don't have fans. I don't care about that. The Nets had their run of sweeping the Knicks. That was hilarious. It's like, we could have 10 fans. Beat you 7 times in a row, 8 times in a row. But what I'm saying is, when you saw that return for DeJounte Murray, it didn't make you think about what you gave up for Mikal Bridges. It had to. DeJounte Murray, no matter what you think about him, I mean, he was a guy that Knicks fans were talking about trading for at the deadline. And to see what the Pelicans, like, it's just funny. Where is it? Let me pull up that deal. Because this is the biggest return for a non-all-star, non-superstar in history. This is, and that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. DeJounte Murray is a good player. He's not Mikal Bridges. He's a different player than Mikal Bridges. But the terms of that trade, I had in my notes, and I'm trying to find them now. Because that's just not, it's just not, I don't know. That's what the Knicks gave up, especially being in the same town. It sets up this next half a decade of basketball to be very interesting here. We're talking about the future. Who's the future of WFAN host-wise? I hope I'm around for it. I hope I have some shows for it in 5-6 years, you know, to actually look at what happens. Because, one, I hope the Knicks win. I hope if the Knicks win a championship, all we talk about is who's going to win the next championship. Who's going to bring a parade to New York? And I think out of all the teams, if it's the Knicks, this city's going to be upside down. That's one team that unites the city. Yankees, Mets, split. Jets, Giants, split. More Giants, but still split. And they play in Jersey. Isles, Rangers, Devils, split. Rangers have a huge fan base. I think that would be a crazy parade too. But the Knicks, there's so many more Knicks fans than Nets fans. It would be ridiculous. So if I'm hosting on the Fan in 2026 and the Knicks are the champions, great. I'll see you at the parade. I'll see you at the parties. But if I'm hosting on the Fan in 2031 and the Nets have made all of those picks and the Knicks didn't win and this era of the Villanova Knicks has faded, because those guys will be cooked by then, and you'll need those picks to rebuild, right? It's a lock. It's a guarantee that, oh, those picks aren't going to be lottery picks. Those picks aren't going to be high picks. They don't have to be. They don't have to be. You don't need a lottery pick to hit on a good player. I am excited for the future, and I wasn't excited for the future of Ben Simmons and Mikal Bridges with this current Nets team. I'm hoping they sell everybody off. I'm hoping they can get rid of Ben Simmons, Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith. You Knicks fans need a center. You want Dayron Sharpe? You want Dayron Sharpe? He's available, yo. He's available. He is available. 888-808-1019. We both win, but you have to win now. The Nets have to win later, and this is the last opportunity for Sean Marks to actually do what he's done before, build a team, right? All these championship teams, they win with a core of two or three players, and then they add some veterans and some, you know, fill in the blanks with some free agents. The New Orleans Pelicans are acquiring DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, EJ Little, and two future first-round picks. Now, obviously, because of the players in that, there's more value. But, I mean, like, what Larry Nance Jr., what are we talking about? EJ, like, and only two picks? Two first-round picks, a 2025 selection via the Lakers, and a 2027 selection, the least favorable between the Milwaukee Bucks and their own? I don't know. When I saw that DeJounte Murray deal, and you already know the terms of the Mikal Bridges deal, I'm like, great! Great. This Nets world will be rebuilt. Laugh now, cry later. Mario in Long Beach.
Long Beach.
On the Fan every show.
Yeah, no, pretty much. I enjoy. I'm a retired banker, and I enjoy sports.
Yeah, good for you, man.
I really follow it well.
Good.
You know, and sometimes listening to it really gets me angry sometimes, or a little bit upset that sometimes guys, you don't really do it, but other guys talking about, like, putting stuff about you on, or saying something about you and not telling you, you know, it's like, I think it's unprofessional.
I don't hear it. I don't hear it. And I don't mind it either. Some people text me or tweet me when my name comes up on the Fan. It's free promo. Like, but the thing is about me, if I say something about somebody on this radio station, I'll say it to their face.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I don't think that works the other way around.
I don't think it's professional. You should really tell the person when you're
doing
that.
It's all public. It's all public. And
I mean, if you're going to pull out that thing that you said about that Tonklin guy, you know, you should tell him, because, you know, you were saying it based on what was happening at that second. So after that, he pitched a 1 ERA, and nobody knows that.
I have no idea how that works. I have no idea how they go about, like, Keith McPherson at night, because honestly, when I'm listening to the fan and I hear my drops that are old and expired, I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't paint me in a good light. That doesn't make me sound very educated. That doesn't make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Because they don't say Keith McPherson on the fan from April 13th.
I'm here to refresh my takes
and take calls and do my thing every night and stand on business, prove who I am and what I bring to the station. So it's all good.
Exactly. So let's get past that. So about the Knicks deal, you know, I look at this a little bit differently than you do. I talked to you a couple of times before they traded Bridges, right? And you seem to be, oh, they're building around him. You never said that you thought he was not good or anything. You were on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I was going off of what they told us. Disappointed in it. But I'm like, they love him, man. He's under control for years. He's an iron man. He's a nice kid. Like, they see something in him that we don't.
Right. And on the trade itself, I don't believe it's as good as you say, because the Knicks pick, they're going to be good. They're going to be not good picks. They had a better deal with Houston, and they didn't take it. Because Houston, they would have got this pick of this year. Remember, they got no picks this year.
You know what it is, Mario? You're not a Nets fan, and Nets fans have had to watch themselves host the draft so many years without their picks. We get pumped to have picks, right? We gave our picks away so many times. Just the prospect of having our own selections, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, but didn't Houston have a better package? Houston was gonna get the number 3 pick this year. That was a better package than the Knicks package that they decided not to
take. I got
to
go back
and
look.
I'll tell you the reason, and I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I got to go
back
and
look. The reason why they didn't do that,
I'm sorry. I don't know if it included the, I'm sure I have it in my notes. I don't know if it included the giving the pick back this year. I know they tried.
Oh, no, definitely did. It was this year's pick, which was number 3.
Yeah, and they passed on it, and that also played into the reason why we were like, yo, what the hell do they see in Mikal Bridges that they didn't want to take the picks back?
Yeah. But let me tell you real quick, and then I'll let you go. I think this is the reason why. I think Bridges went to the Nets right now and said, listen, in 2 years I'm going to the Knicks. That's where I want to be. I'm going to honor my contract. So they thought, well, if we trade him somewhere else, they know it's a 2-year rental. They're going to get a low return. So now all of a sudden the Knicks return is the best return for them. If they trade him somewhere else, I'm not going to give you a lot if I'm only getting him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Good job as always, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Yeah, I think that had to be it. I don't know, man. This season sucked watching the Nets and just dealing with the nonsense and them going from being a contender, having superstars, to completely fumbling that. During the break, I'll have to go back and look. During the trade deadline, I remember there were rumors. I don't know how true the rumors are, but there was rumors that Houston wanted Mikal Bridges and they had a bunch of picks on the table, and probably, the Nets pick this year that they had, and I don't know. I remember them passing on it, and I'm like, they love him, bro. They absolutely love this guy. They see something in him that we don't see. But, it's Brooklyn. Like, we could see through it. We knew this guy. It's the Brooklyn Nets. We could tell pretty quickly when guys want out. They always want out. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Keith McPherson on the fan, BRB.